Michigan, everyone, and welcome to the Mid-Atlantic Championship Podcast, the podcast that travels back into time to review classic episodes of Jim Crockett Promotions' Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling Program as they appear on the WWE Network. And hopefully, we can add a little historical context to them as well. I am Mike Sempervivi, joined as always by my co-host Roman Gomez, and this is proper episode number 11 of the show. And in this edition, we'll be taking a look at the Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling episode, which was taped on Wednesday, March 17, 1982, at the WPCQ Studios, Channel 36 in Charlotte, North Carolina, and aired in local markets on Saturday, March 20th, 1982. And if you like this show and want more things related to it, you can find them via all of our social media. We have all of it. We have a SoundCloud, a YouTube, Instagram, all that sort of stuff, but we update Twitter and Facebook the most. Just search Mid-Atlantic Pod and look for the logo. Two of our most popular features that we do are On This Day in JCP TV History and hashtag Everyday Arn, where we post video clips celebrating the greatness that was Jim Crockett Promotions Television, as well as the greatness that was and continues to be the enforcer, AA Arn Anderson. And if you want to follow along with us as we review these episodes of the shows, you can do so by signing up for the WWE Network at WWE.com. And you can also follow along by way of David Taub's write-ups of the shows, which are available over at MidAtlanticGateway.com. Our friends over there who also post up links to our programs as we finish up, put them next to David Taub's write-ups, and we very much appreciate that. There would not be a Mid-Atlantic Championship podcast if it was not for the Mid-Atlantic Gateway. So without any further ado, very concisely and clearly, I'd like to bring on my co-host, my friend Roman Gomez. Roman, how are you?
I'm doing good, Mike. As usual, it's good to be back for another week of Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling and hopefully have some fun and forget about all this craziness that the world's going through right now.
Yes, I don't know when everybody will be listening to this program, but if you are listening to it in real time, number one, we are either early with this show or back on schedule with it, one of the two. That is because we are having a lot more time to record because no matter when you're listening to this show, the coronavirus was a thing in the first half of 2020, if not longer, in I was going to say North America, but all across the world. So one of the silver linings in this very dark and unfortunate cloud where Roman and I struggle for hours at work are we have hours open to record, and we know we have a pretty rapt audience. I know there's a lot of people out there be DMing me and hitting me up on social media wondering when we're going to have some new shows because they need the distraction, and hopefully we can be that distraction. And with this episode of Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, this was a good show. It was hosted by Bob Cottle and Roddy Piper, and we kind of lamented about the show last week in that it was very pedestrian, and you got that for all of you younger viewers out there, younger listeners out there who didn't have a chance to view territorial wrestling back in the day. Not every show took you on a high ride. Not every show was pay-per-view quality. Not every show was Nitro at the Georgia Dome or Monday Night Raw, the three-hour extravaganza that it's turned into now. There were ebbs and flows to it. You built to big shows, and those builds took place over a much longer period of time. So there were shows that were placeholders that were designed to give some people some experience on matches and really just to talk about the storylines that they were trying to move along. Now, because of that, when things kind of dipped, when you had a really good show where the wrestling was good and you had a lot of personality and a lot of great interviews on it, they certainly stood out, and I think we got that this week. As I mentioned, Bob Cottle and Roddy Piper were the hosts to the show, and they opened it up with the big overdub. And from there, we got right into a guy we talked about last week having a little bit more shine here recently, which is United States heavyweight champion Sergeant Slaughter. And we get an interview with him right off the bat.
Got the best wrestlers I have ever seen on a wrestling program right now. And we have Sergeant Slaughter, Ivan Koloff. We have me, which is tremendous. Look at mentioning Sergeant Slaughter.
Speaking of Sergeant Slaughter.
That's right. You know, I've stirred up the hornet's nest, and I understand there's a few wrestlers out there that are a little upset with Sergeant Slaughter. Ric Flair is coming back. Wahoo McDaniels is coming back. Ricky Steamboat wants Sergeant Slaughter. Jake the Snake Roberts wants Sergeant Slaughter. Well, let me tell you, wrestlers, Sergeant Slaughter's here, and he was here when you left, and he'll be here when you're on your way out again. So I'll be waiting to hear from you.
There you heard from Sergeant Slaughter, making it very clear he ain't going anywhere, and for anybody to come bring it on. We then got an interview with television champion Ivan Koloff, and I'm not going to play that because very quickly Koloff was interrupted by the Boogie Woogie Man Jimmy Valiant's music and his ring entrance for his match against Steve Seibert that he came out for. Ivan quickly retreated to the back, and we got the match beginning. The referee for all of today's matches is Stu Schwartz. As the match begun, Roddy Piper wanted to take Jimmy Valiant to task because, as we know with Jimmy Valiant matches, there's always a lot of brawling. He's going to deliver a thumb to the throat. He's going to deliver a lot of plunderous shots that may hit a little wide and maybe they hit a little too snug, but that's just kind of Valiant. And Piper was ready to call him out for the fact that he's in there messing with Ivan Koloff and trying to go after a TV champion who's got a high motor and high wrestling skills. And look at that. Wouldn't you know it, Jimmy Valiant proves Roddy Piper wrong right off the bat.
Gonna see is all the fans are gonna see just what Jimmy Valiant can do, and it's plenty. He can do plenty in that ring.
Hey, I'm not saying that Jimmy Valiant is not a great wrestler. I'm saying he's not a great wrestler. He's a great ballroom. Look at that. He's a great ballroom brawler. But when you're talking about a guy like Ivan Koloff, well, that was a good wrestling move. Now the nice leg sweep. Okay, yes, so he's got some intelligence. You're talking the Russian bear. You're talking a guy that can go 90 minutes without stopping, without taking a breath. Now, he turns his back on Ivan Koloff like that. He's going to get his face kicked in, mister.
You know, Roman, sometimes you just can't plan it. Sometimes you got to be good on the draw. And Roddy Piper out there, Jimmy Valiant, it's not like Jimmy Valiant ever did a cavalcade of great wrestling moves to begin any of his matches, and it's not like he was Jack Briscoe here, but surprising Piper, who had to kind of change his shtick on the fly there with Valiant, and it actually came out sounding pretty great. This match obviously doesn't last too long. Valiant just won in about, 93 seconds, I think it was, with an elbow drop. He then jumped out of the ring, slapped on a rainbow do-rag, and cut a promo just on being the boogeyman, and it was what it was, but another big win for Jimmy Valiant. People going nuts for him. Not much to say, I'm sure, about the match, but what about the whole presentation there, including Piper and Valiant's promo afterwards?
I don't know about you, Mike. Well, actually, I do, because you have mentioned it before, but my gosh, when Jimmy Valiant comes out and they dub over his theme music, the cheesy music they play and the volume that they play it at. I've been to a Metallica concert that wasn't as loud as that music when Valiant comes out. So it's hard to sit through any type of Valiant segment when you watch it on the network with that loud overdub of the music.
And it goes on for so long because his entrances would go on for so long and he would start matches and the match would begin and the bell would ring, much like in this case, but the music would continue to play. And it's maddening for somebody that grew up at that time who knows that this isn't the music. And it's not like it's even got to be. I mean, it's not close to Boy from New York City. I mean, it's not even close to that. But like you mentioned, the volume that they play it out and the fact that it goes sometimes for the whole match. And this is a problem later on when you watch the network and the Road Warriors get in the ring. And the Road Warriors match is only 40 seconds long. They go in there, they destroy a guy Doomsday device. But, you know, in that time, Iron Man would play, and it would be awesome because it fit. And then they have their version that they have to put up overdubbed on the network, and it's just not the same. And it's just one of those aesthetics that us as old men, we're going to continue to lament. But that's also why we do this show, is because maybe somebody's listening to this show in 2040. Who really doesn't have any idea about how important the aesthetic of music was to these shows and how revolutionary and just Junkyard Dog, Another One Bites the Dust, or no matter what it is, they were just so important to the presentation of the show. But I digress there a little bit. I'll bring it on back to Jake the Snake Roberts, who then joined Bob, and he was really there to kind of hype the Sergeant Slaughter-Ric Flair conflict that had been taking place, and without outright mentioning it, because this was going to be a show that was syndicated and, of course, bicycled around, he basically alludes to a match coming up in Charlotte where he will be teaming up with Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat to face Sergeant Slaughter, Ole Anderson, and Stan Hansen. That would take place later on that night, that Saturday night, in Charlotte. Here's Jake the Snake Roberts.
I think he's got the right idea, because you see what's been happening is these guys have been coming on people, doing things to people. You got Slaughter with his two goofs, the two privates, Cornoodle and Nelson. Speak of the devil, there he is right now. I'll tell you something. One of these days, we're going to make a mistake. And that mistake is this. He's going to keep putting those guys in there, and they're going to have to face somebody that really means something. I'm talking about the hometown boy, Ric Flair. That's right. Flair's going to put the title aside, Slaughter. He's putting the title aside, and he's coming back to Charlotte because that's his home. The Queen City's always been his home. And he's going to take care of some serious business, and that's some little rat killing. Cure a little of this skullduggery. Stop this thing. There's no need for it. You got Anderson and Hansen. They're trying to tear everybody up, ripping people apart. They're not trying to beat people no more. They're trying to hurt people and cripple them.
And one of them is Slaughter. We got him in the ring, too, right now, Jake.
He's going to make the big mistake soon.
We're going to watch him in action, the U.S. heavyweight champ.
As you hear how things faded out there, Sergeant Slaughter was in the ring getting ready for his match. At the very beginning, I kind of faded it in there because of the music overdub still from Jimmy Valiant, but that's who Jake Roberts was referring to when he talked about that guy having the right idea. And we heard it last week a little bit with Roberts calling Slaughter out for some of his actions and the actions of his recruits. And then also, again, as I mentioned, he kind of hints at the fact that Ric Flair was coming back into town, and he was in Charlotte that night, teaming up with Jake and Ricky Steamboat against Slaughter, Ole, and Hansen. But it was time for Sergeant Slaughter against Ron Ritchie. Talked about last week, Ron Ritchie kind of being in flux right now. He still was not at a high level, but much like Mike George, who had kind of disappeared just to the house show circuit, at this point, at least when it comes to Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling television goes, Ritchie was in the mix against Sergeant Slaughter, and he's mixed it up with Slaughter's recruits before, and he's mixed it up with Slaughter on the house show circuit. And I must say, Ron Ritchie did hold up to his end of the deal in this match. It was a hard-hitting match. Slaughter gave him a lot. There was a lot of clubbing forearms and open-hand Wahoo-style chops, and they were both really, really getting at each other, and as the match began, as those two guys pounded away, and you're going to hear that in this next clip, Piper took this opportunity to, of course, hype up Sergeant Slaughter, but also run down Ric Flair.
Nice fight, but it would send shivers. One thing they said, I heard Jake the Snake say,
look at Ron Ritchie, young Ron Ritchie in there. He just hit Sergeant Slaughter with a couple of powerful blows. Slaughter didn't even back him up.
Look at
He's
these
such
guys
a
go.
Big, powerful man, Piper. He's a big, strong, powerful individual.
And Ritchie will slouch himself there, is he not? You see, that's what's so tremendous about this. The competitors they have, if you could realize how good Ron Ritchie is, you would know how good Sergeant Slaughter is, because he's handling them like potatoes now. But now what have we got here? Now Jake the Snake and Ric Flair, they're thinking about tagging up. What have they got going for them? Huh? They said Ric Flair's putting his title aside. You know what it is? Ric Flair has got something to prove. He thinks that, well, I'm going to come home sometime, and I'm going to get in that ring and show, and he's going to have all kinds of people there screaming and cheering, trying to prove something. But let me tell you something. Sergeant Slaughter and Ole Anderson are not the people to prove things with. I'm telling you, they're animals.
I'll buy that statement. They are that.
Roman, we'll get to the end of the match here in a minute, but what did you think about Slaughter against Ritchie and Ritchie really getting in a lot of offense on Slaughter, not in any way where anybody would have believed that he was going to get the Duke in this, but certainly standing up for himself and proving himself to be a tough guy and establishing that in the fans' eyes?
Yeah, Ritchie got his share of offense. They had a nice little chop fest going on there for a while, and it was a physical confrontation. And I like at one point when Slaughter was repeatedly hitting Ritchie in the chest, and Piper said it was to take the breath out of him, so to set up the Cobra Clutch. And I thought that was kind of a good point by Piper. But yeah, Ritchie held his own in this contest.
Yeah, he really did look good. And then again, it was obviously Slaughter that was helping him look really good, too, by letting him get in a lot of that offense. And that's one of the underrated things about Sergeant Slaughter, especially at this time, is the fact that he would say he wasn't the most graceful seller in the world, but, you know, he didn't have to be. He was a big Marine that was supposed to be a tough guy. And at one point in this match, you know, he almost goes into a zone trading these shots with Richie. But, you know, even though Richie's getting established as being a tough guy, they talk about it, the look on Slaughter's face, the faraway stare that he got, where Bob Cottle mentions, like, I think you could hit Slaughter with a baseball bat right now and he wouldn't even notice. When it was time to turn it on, he could do that. But when it was time to, you know, sell a whip into the corner or a whip across the ring or something like that, Slaughter always did a hell of a job with it. And I'll play the end of the match here. As you mentioned, Roman, he was doing some pounding on the chest that Roddy Piper pointed out as he held Richie in a basically like a rear chin lock, where he just kept pounding away at the chest and kind of stretching the arm a little bit, which set up a heavy lariat, which you're definitely going to hear. No thigh slap here, ladies and gentlemen, when you hear him lay in his Slaughter Cannon lariat and then set up the Cobra Clutch.
You see, if him and Anderson were to tag up, they have something to offer. Oh, I love it! I love it! Look at that! Boy, did he set him up perfect for that!
Hey, here's the Cobra Clutch.
There it is! Richie, go for the ropes. That's the only way out right now. Go for the ropes.
Ain't no way he can get to the ropes from there.
I can see. Is that Ric Flair in there?
Oh, it's Ron Richie, and Ron Richie is going to be out right here. Referee Stu Schwartz checking.
One and the two and the three.
After that tremendous clothesline, no way he was going to get up.
Flair is finished. I mean, Richie.
Classic old school heel technique. Not like the baby faces wouldn't do it too, but always with the heels, taking a job guy and either dressing them up as the person that they're feuding with or continuously calling them out for it. Terry Funk was always good for that. You know, taking a guy like a Jack Hart, a Barry Horowitz, and throwing a blonde wig on him and punching him in the face, calling him Dusty Rhodes or whatever it would be. Those types of scenarios always worked back in the day, or at least worked most of the time back in the day. And Roddy Piper getting in his digs, calling Ron Richie Ric Flair as Sergeant Slaughter went to work on him, was perfect for that. We get to hear from Sergeant Slaughter after the match, as well as Ric Flair, who sends up a promo from Miami where he has reportedly been jumped by Ole Anderson. Again, all kind of setting up what takes place tonight in Charlotte at the Coliseum, which remains unsaid because, you know, syndication and such. So, unfortunately, we have no local promos to set up that six-man tag team match. But we do have Flair alluding to it, cutting this promo right in the middle of Sergeant Slaughter's.
I tell you, after the way he just annihilated Ron Richie in that ring, and here is Sergeant Slaughter right now. And that was Ron Richie in the ring. I got to say to you, what if that had been Ric Flair up there, Sergeant Slaughter?
He'd still be on the mat if that was Ric Flair. I took it easy on this kid here, this punk. You know, I've been getting Ric Flairs. I've been getting Ricky Steamboats, Jake Roberts. I've had them up to here, especially Wahoo McDaniels. But Ric Flair, you want to come out here and say that you're really upset that I took advantage of you and I whipped you like a dog with my cartridge belt? It's just your luck.
I think
your luck that Ricky Steamboat came in to help you. There won't be any Ricky Steamboat this time.
Sergeant,
you and Jake Roberts against myself.
You and Ole Anderson. You and Ole Anderson are in trouble.
There's no trouble. If anybody's in trouble, it's Ric Flair and Jake the Snake Roberts, because Ole Anderson is probably the toughest individual I've ever seen besides myself. The man does not give up. He does not know what pain is, but he sure knows how to put pain on somebody. And when we get done with you, Ric Flair, Nature Boy, Jake the Snake Roberts, don't you interrupt me.
We've got some words from Ric Flair, and I know the fans want to hear him, and the fans want to see him.
I've asked Crockett Promotions to please bring me back to the Carolinas as fast as you can put Ric Flair in an airplane. Take the world championship and put it on a shelf, because I want Ole Anderson, and I want Slaughter, and I want Piper, and I want Gene Anderson, and I want Ninja. I want all of them. Can you imagine me in Miami, Florida? Now, Ole Anderson, you had no business coming to Miami. You had no business jumping in that ring. You had no business putting 11 stitches in my eye. You had no business breaking a finger in my hand. You had no business putting 12 stitches here. But only, and Piper and Aliyah, remember, if it's a tag team, if it's a six-man, it makes a difference. Ric Flair is coming back to the Carolinas to put you guys where you belong, in the hospital.
There's the Nature Boy.
I'm really glad to see Ric Flair, the Nature Boy, is worked up. He's hot. He's hot at Sergeant Slaughter, and that's the way I want it. That's what I did to you, Ric Flair. I got you out of being Mr. Nice Guy. I want you in there as mad as you can be because I don't want any excuses when you go down.
All right, fans, we'll be back.
But once again, Sergeant Slaughter, no joke, talking about Ric Flair and that whole scenario there. Any thoughts on this promo here from Slaughter, or really any thoughts on kind of how creatively, you know, we talked about it way, way back in, I believe it was the very first episode of the Prelude show, which wasn't even going to be a show that we did, Roman, where it talked about the how to lay out a TV show and the brilliant thing that they did to kind of set up Christmas and taking the time off and still needing to set up Slaughter and Blackjack Mulligan Jr. and how they were going to kind of play all of that out. And this didn't have to be as intricately booked or anything like that, but you still had a bicycle of syndicated television shows that needed to get out there. And even though you were Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling based in North Carolina and your job was to take care of the Carolinas and Virginia, you still had things that you needed to take care of in Tennessee and in West Virginia and in Maryland and Florida and Toronto and other places where this show aired. And they may not be getting Ole Anderson, Stan Hansen, Ric Flair against Sergeant Slaughter and Jake Roberts and Ricky Steamboat and all that stuff. In fact, the odds are they would never be getting it. So, you know, how do you play around that? How do you use the right verbiage? How do you kind of hint at things yet pull back? And I think they've done a great job with that. And they, to my opinion, they certainly did a great job with that in this promo. Do you have any thoughts on the promo itself or just kind of the presentation of TV?
Well, I definitely wanted to see that match. You know, seeing Flair having his face covered in bandages, talking about his fingers being broke, and just the thought of it at that time would have been amazing. But you look back even now, to have a team of Slaughter, Hansen, and Ole against Flair, Piper, and Jake. I mean, you talk about an all-star team. There is not one weak link in that contest. So to have a six-man tag with those six individuals and hearing the promos, if I was in that area, I definitely would have paid a ticket to go see it.
You talked about Ric Flair's nose, and we talked about Sergeant Slaughter and them going to work on that nose a couple weeks ago. After that match that Flair had with Steamboat when he was attacked by Slaughter and the Marines. And I was watching, you know, cutting some clips to put up for Twitter and for Facebook for On This Day in JCP TV History, and it was Ric Flair and Wahoo McDaniel in early 1985, where Wahoo is chopping Flair in the nose, and it was a spot that they did, you know, a zillion times over the years. But it's like, who ever sold their nose like Ric Flair? Whoever sold their nose, period.
No, I can't think of anybody that sold it more, but I just kind of had flashbacks in Memphis when they had a segment on Lance Russell's nose, which was kind of funny if you can dig that up on YouTube. But Flair would be like the only one I could think of that actually sold their nose like that, like you alluded to.
One of Jimmy Hart's greatest songs, Lance Russell's nose. Is that the one you're thinking of, too, where they have the funeral and they open up the casket and it's just a massive nose? Or did Lawler do that? I can't remember if Lawler or Jimmy Hart did that to Lance.
I don't remember the casket, but I remember another segment where they, if memory serves correct, they put like a fake nose on Russell. And it was, but yeah, I remember Lance Russell's nose being a thing in Memphis.
If I can find that song, I'm going to tack it on to the end and hopefully we don't get like copywritten struck or something like that, because it is great. But back to the Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling. Terry Taylor and Big Mike Miller was up next, and this was a good one to hear Bob and Roddy spar with each other. Bob kind of poking Roddy. Roddy calling out Taylor's skill level and talent level, and Bob kind of laying it into him. We did get a a interesting moment here. We got a PSA from Roddy Piper talking about an event that was coming up, a charity event at the Charlotte Orioles Stadium, which at the time was owned by Jim Crockett and the Crockett family, and was very successful there for a long time, the single-A team of the Baltimore Orioles. This is where Tony Schiavone got his start. It's also where Cal Ripken Jr. got his start after initially playing rookie league ball in Bluefield, West Virginia, went down, played for the Charlotte Orioles. Yes, I am remembering this all off the top of my head growing up in that Baltimore, Washington area where Cal Ripken Jr. and was king. I preferred Eddie Murray, but you know, he didn't get it. He didn't get along with the media. But regardless, that doesn't have anything to do with this match or this promo by Roddy Piper hyping up this charity event, which would be taking place at where the Charlotte Orioles played.
Absolutely tremendous. Miller thinking. You know, there's a good distraction there. It's just brushing the hair, brushing the hands across the nose. That's a good distraction that Miller used. Good thinking. Good thinking. I'd like to say something too, you know, whether you like me or not, which I don't really care because I ain't wild about a lot of people. But you know, the people that watch NWA Wrestling here on Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling does do some tremendous things. It brings out some tremendous athletes, but not only that, it does things for communities. And I'd like to say one thing that they're going to do is on March the 23rd, they have a barbecue at Crockett Park strictly for the crippled, retarded children. All the proceeds are going to the retarded children,
right.
And that's something that we should all be grateful for, and shows you just how great that the promotion is here when they're thinking of the community.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, very good. Good point.
I think, yes, it is a good point because I said it.
There you hear Roddy Piper, friend of the retarded children, as was Jim Crockett Promotions, who was throwing this barbecue out there at Charlotte Park in Charlotte coming up on March 23rd. That would be Tuesday afternoon here if it Saturday is the 20th. So there you go. Any comment on the barbecue that was going to be held?
Yeah, I was going to say you saw a little bit of a softer side to Piper, you know, to acknowledge the charitable action that the Mid-Atlantic was doing. But then, of course, he brought it back to being Roddy Piper when he says, of course, it's a great point because I said it. So, you know, he couldn't stay too nice for too long,
and Austin Idol couldn't stay away for too long, because as this match started to roll on, he strolled out again with that 8mm camera taking pictures of Terry Taylor and paying attention to what was going on. And Roddy Piper and Bob Cottle, of course, mentioned that. As Idol's been getting under a lot of people's skin recently with his actions out there filming everyone. Going to go now to the finish of the match, where Terry Taylor will get the Duke in about 6 minutes and 14 seconds. Once again with that abdominal stretch rolling clutch that he uses. Go ahead and play that for you right now.
Back toss high to the air. Now it's Taylor.
Good officiating. Taylor did have a handful of hair. The referee made him break it immediately. Oh,
and
there he goes for his grapevine. See if he goes into the pin. Yes!
Yes, he did.
He's got it.
Beautiful move right there on the part of Terry Taylor against Big Mike Miller. As you say, he got him in that stretch, and that grapevine went right into the pin out of that. Watch it again in slow motion, Roddy.
Now, you see, this could be something that Austin Idol will treasure on that film, because if he has to fight Terry Taylor, this may be a move that he may be looking for counters for. We don't exactly know what he's doing, but in any case, a beautiful move. Now he's learned and been strong enough to not only boost his opponent's body, but his own body up in the air. That move is really becoming devastating. There you go for a three. Ah, very nice. Almost as nice as I could do it.
He couldn't do it like Roddy Piper, says Roddy Piper. One thing that Roddy Piper always had over Terry Taylor was the ability to cut a promo. And I hopefully that doesn't hurt Terry Taylor's feelings. If it does, maybe I could send him out a bumper sticker that will make him feel good and make him feel whole about himself as he listens to Roddy Piper hype up an appearance coming up in Lansing, Michigan, to everybody listening on WIHT-TV. Channel 36 in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Fans, don't forget now to write this address you see on your screen down. Jim Crockett Promotions Incorporated, that's 421 Briar Bend Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28209. You see it on your screen, write it down. If you will, and if you will send to that address a self-addressed stamped envelope, in return, we will send you one of these beautiful Mid-Atlantic Championship bumper stickers. It's a present that you'll be glad to give anyone, and it's one you'd want to keep for yourself. So a self-addressed stamped envelope to bumper sticker, Jim Crockett Promotions Incorporated, 421 Briarbend Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28209. Self-addressed stamped envelope. In the return mail, you'll receive one of these attractive bumper stickers. You fans in Lansing, Michigan, a big program at Lansing Civic Center coming up on Wednesday, May 5th at 8:15. Buzz Sawyer versus Ray Stevens, Michael Hayes meeting Ron Bass, tag team action, Ole Anderson and Big Stan Hansen against Bob Armstrong and Kevin Sullivan, the superstar meeting Tommy Rich, Roddy Piper meeting the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
The American Dream. America. You must be proud, Lansing, Michigan, of the American dream. Come nice, such nice blonde hair. Too bad he had to go and dye the roots black like that. Great big man, former heavyweight champion of the world. You see, though, that's the difference between you and me, because I ain't never been former nothing. You see, I am present day. I am Roddy Piper, 27 years old, Lansing, Michigan. I am Roddy Piper, 232 pounds, a wrestler that they couldn't find nobody in the whole wide world to wrestle me. What would you say? Fear, would you say? Would you say hello? Yeah, hello? No, nothing. Not fear. You know what it is? It's they don't want to bring an end to their career. Mr. Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes. Funny thing, Dusty Rhodes. When we signed the contract, you were yelling and screaming because there was all kinds of people between us. But then again, we got alone, didn't we, for a second in the hallway? And when we got alone, boom, into the can you went. Back into the washroom where I couldn't find you. Is that fear of Roddy Piper? Is it because nobody? I'll tell you what, Dusty Rhodes. You come to Lansing, Michigan, and then the last thing we'll see about you is you going down, Dusty Rhodes.
This is really more of an aside than anything, but we would go, because we didn't have cable, to somebody's house who had cable, whether it be a grandparent's house, an aunt, an uncle, a friend, something like that, and they would have WTBS, Channel 17, playing Georgia Championship Wrestling. And that's basically, not basically, that is what this show is that is coming up. Even though Roddy Piper is on the show against Dusty Rhodes, that is because Roddy Piper is on WTBS Channel 17 out of Atlanta. Same thing goes with Ray Stevens and with Buzz Sawyer, who you heard is going to be appearing on that show. And I, to this day, want one of those gigantic, over-the-top, massive satellite dishes, those CSAT satellite, whatever the hell those things were, Roman, you know what I'm talking about, right there. I'm sure
yep.
They still got a ton sticking out there in the desert, those big concrete abortions. I still want one of those. If I could ever get one, if I ever hit lotto, I'm going to have a lot of stupid things. I'm going to have many kids by many women because I will be able to afford to take care of all of them. I'm going to raise Flemish rabbits just because it entertains me. And yes, I will have one of those massive C-band satellites, even though they pick up absolutely, I believe, nothing at this point, except for maybe NASA television. You can also get that for free on your cable system, I believe. But do you have one of those? Did your family have one of those at all? Or were you always just down with the little ones?
Yeah, this was before the baseball package and the MLB and everything. Well, we had the big satellite dish, and my dad got it for baseball, so we used to watch all the baseball games. And then if he was at work, working late, and MSG had a show, I would go to the MSG channel and watch it. Occasionally, I was able to watch Florida Championship Wrestling if he was working late on a Saturday. But, yeah, definitely a big fan of the old satellite dish.
It was always so wild, too, because it was like, and I don't know how well, I mean, look, it's, I'm sure we are playing to a mostly older base here, so they know about this, but like, you wouldn't get you would get the unedited Raw satellite feed, so you would see and hear the most random things sometimes, and you know, people picking noses and off-color jokes and all that sort of stuff. And it was really, really wild. It was absolutely wild. So I always thought that stuff was cool.
I was gonna say, I remember during a Met game, Tim McCarver dropping mother effer and this and that during the commercial break. And then right when he came back on the air, of course, he had to clean it up. But you could tell what he really thought about a particular play when you're hearing F-bombs dropped left and right.
We'll take it back to the show now, where we can sit down and really be able to take a long, clear look at Sergeant Slaughter's privates. There they are, the two of them, just hanging out there, just dangling in the ring. Sergeant Slaughter's privates. Been a real treat. What is it, Bill? Have you been feeling Sergeant Slaughter's privates recently, Roman, with their new aggressive approach and everything? Is this something that you can really kind of really get your mind around here, Sergeant Slaughter's privates?
They're working towards being a well-oiled machine, but I'm doing everything I can not to call them Slaughter's privates.
I'm trying to think.
Despite you trying to lead me down that path, I'm going to try to find another word for them.
Trying to think of these things on the fly here about, you know, you can't wait till you can get your hands on Sergeant Slaughter's privates and all that sort of stuff. Vinny Valentino, Tony Anthony were the privates. Opponents in this match, Don Kernoodle and Jim Nelson, who are showing off their new aggressiveness. And without any further ado, we will throw it to Roddy Piper, who, when talking about the toughness and some of the moves of Valentino and Tony Anthony, invoke the names of two guys who, I guess, have been helping the younger talent try to fend off some of the things that Slaughter and the Marines have been throwing at everybody. And much like Ray Stevens doing this a few weeks ago when he came to the NWA Tag Team Title Tournament, these two gentlemen were not an official unit again. But here we go.
And just how vicious they've gotten. They are really rough and tough in that ring.
Absolutely.
Nelson now with that chin hole and with that knee into the back, he has really now got the pressure to Anthony. This young man has taken a tremendous amount of punishment.
Yeah, that's
and it's all just in a matter of moments.
That's Steamboat's tutoring is what that is. That's Steamboat's tutoring, Youngblood's tutoring. You know, they go in, put on their Superman costume, Steamboat, Youngblood, right? Run out, they're going to save the world because Sergeant Slaughter's got a fantastic team. They figure they got to help. Why don't they mind their own business, these guys?
Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood. And here we sit, and we know what happens a year later. The story for another time, but just remember this, as this will play into it way later on. We'll take it to the finish of the match, which came in about 6 minutes and 2 seconds is what I had timed here. It was a good match for everybody involved in that they were able to get a lot of ring time in. Tony Anthony, obviously, of the four men, having the least amount of experience, was the one who got bounced around the most and ended up getting beaten at the end. Vinny Valentino also, though, did not fare really well. This was more a showcase for the privates, but it did give a chance to get everybody to kind of get their things in and their time in a little bit here. But we will go to the finish of the match right now with a very happy Roddy Piper.
And Canoodle didn't pin him. He lifted him up. He lifted him off of the mat.
These guys don't have the aggression I do. That's what's wrong. They don't have that.
He sets him up to clothesline him off of that top rope. As Canoodle holds him high in the air, Nelson clotheslines him, comes in, covers him, and hooks that leg. And at that point, no way is anybody going to get up from that, Roddy Piper.
And you know that's a tutelage of Sergeant Slaughter there. Absolutely perfectly executed.
All right, there's the end of the match there. The privates get the victory over Vinny Valentino and Tony Anthony. And Roman, any thoughts on this match?
Yeah, when you said it went 6 minutes, I wrote in my notes, I thought the match could have been shorter. It felt like it went a little longer than 6 minutes, you know, but they did a good job on commentary, putting over the team, saying that it was pretty much because of Slaughter's influence that they became quite the cohesive unit. But no surprise, Kernoodle and Nelson end up victorious.
We then get a Jake the Snake interview with Slaughter, just once again kind of reiterating that they are going to basically be facing off at some point. They're going to be in the six-man match tonight, but Jake's got some eyes on Slaughter's U.S. title, and Slaughter's got some eyes on putting his fist down Jake's throat for running his mouth, which leads into Jake against David Patterson, who we talked about at length last week, teaming up with Carl Fergie. Mid-Atlantic tag team title level is about where David Patterson is at as he faced off against Jake Roberts here, who gets the victory. I don't think I'll be spoiling anything here, but it's how he gets the victory, which is a little bit of a surprise, as in about 2 minutes and 24 seconds, David Patterson is disqualified when this happens.
The snake out a little bit here, but what the problem is with the snake, you can't fight him that way. You can't fight the snake and try to wear his stamina down because he's got himself holy. Here, look, what the
heck? Oh, and here comes the private. Sergeant Slaughter's private. Now, what are they doing? Here's Slaughter. What are they all doing in there? They shouldn't even be in there. Slaughter's in the ring. The privates are in the ring. Kernota, Nelson, they're stomping in there, kicking away now. Here comes Johnny Weaver. Here comes Ray Stevens. Here comes Blackjack Mulligan Jr. There goes the privates, and there goes Slaughter running after Johnny Weaver, and everybody had to get in to help and to defend Jake the Snake Roberts.
So there you hear all of the Marines coming out to jump on Jake Roberts' head. And unfortunately, Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat were not in the area that Wednesday, the night of the television tapings, as a bunch of other good guys, including Blackjack Mulligan Jr. and Ray Stevens, had to be the ones to come out and run off Slaughter and his recruits. But Jake Roberts and Sergeant Slaughter is going to be something that is going to continue to be something that heats up here as we go along. We then get another commercial for the bumper sticker, which I will go ahead and spare you that and just leave you with the Lansing lineup and Ray the Crippler Stevens.
Attention, you fans in Lansing, Michigan. A big program at Lansing Civic Center. Wrestling coming there on Wednesday, May 5th at 8:15. And listen to these stars. You're going to see Michael Hayes versus Ron Bass. Tag team action, Ole Anderson and Big Stan Hansen against Bob Armstrong and Kevin Sullivan. Superstar meeting Tommy Rich. Rowdy Roddy Piper taking on the American Dream Dusty Rhodes. And Buzz Sawyer goes against Ray Stevens. Ray, that's an all-star program.
Well, I tell you, Bill, everybody on this card is a superstar. There's probably not one match here that couldn't be a main event in Madison Square Garden. You got Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, going up against Roddy Piper, probably the most controversial man in professional wrestling today. Then you've got the superstar against Tommy Rich. Tommy Rich is a superstar in his own right. And then naturally the masked superstar is a big, mean, rugged individual. And then naturally I've got Buzz Sawyer, a young wrestler who's made quite a reputation for himself. Very mean type wrestler. Well, that's just the kind of wrestling that I like to do. And you know what? I'm really looking forward to coming back to Lansing, Michigan. It's been a long time since I've been there. But I'll guarantee you this is one of the greatest cards that I've ever seen put together. And it's going to be a privilege for me to be on this thing. And I'm sure that the people in Michigan are looking forward to seeing the superstars of Channel 17 coming in their area, too.
Ray, let's remind them once again now, that's going to be a big program at the Lansing Civic Center Wednesday, May 5th at 8:15. It's kind of wrestling that you'll see when NWA wrestling is in your community. Don't miss it.
Well, there you go, Roman. The hard sell by Big Bill Ward. If you like wrestling and you like going to wrestling, it's the kind of wrestling you'll like to see. If you like wrestling, it's NWA wrestling. So there's the comments by Ray Stevens, Ray the Crippler Stevens, who, you know, with the longer hair, and I don't know, he's 50-something years old at this point. You know, with a little bit of the longer hair, he looks a lot younger than he did even a couple years ago working in the AWA. Am I crazy about this? Is this an aesthetic that only I'm seeing?
No, you might be onto something. And, you know, as he was talking about wrestling Sawyer, on the other hand, always looked older than what he was. He was just one of those guys that just always had an old look. And, you know, he died way too soon at the age of 32. And that would have been a match I would have really liked to see. Would have been Ray the Crippler Stevens versus Buzz Sawyer.
One of Buzz Sawyer's biggest proponents throughout his career was Ole Anderson, which is why he got so many chances, even though he was bat-ass insane down there in Georgia Championship Wrestling. You know, you had to be in an authoritarian figure to really be able to get the best out of Buzz Sawyer, and Ole Anderson and Bill Watts were about the only two to really be able to do it. But Ole Anderson would be in the ring with Stan Hansen next, facing off against Kelly Kanitsky and Mike Davis. Kelly Kanitsky, the son of former NWA World Heavyweight Champion Gene Kanitsky, and of course they mentioned that on the program here. A beatdown at the hands of Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen. No surprise, Kelly Kanitsky obviously doing a little bit better for himself than poor Mike Davis did. And I'll just take you right to the finish of the match, which includes Piper's description of everything going down.
He's the one with the master plan. And the double elbow as Davis comes off of the rope hard, right into that double elbow smash.
Oh!
Look at Ole Anderson quickly right back on top.
Fast tags, freshman. Ole Anderson going over, making sure Kaniski's not coming in. Very good.
Wow! What a clothesline by Hansen.
If he gets up from that,
he's not. No way. He almost lost his head with that clothesline.
Carry that kid out. What a team. Tremendous team. Anderson, Hansen, Slaughter, Anderson, they're all tremendous teams. They've got something that nobody else has. And just take a look at it. You want to talk about headhunting. You want to talk about 305 pounds just running at you as fast as they can. There's freight trainitis right there, brother. You watch this. Ha-boom ball. Makes me excited. And what do you got? You got a cover for a nice 1-2-3. And notice Hansen grabbing the leg. One. Yes, yes. So easy.
Hey, Roman, what are the odds that freight trainitis could counteract the coronavirus? Is that possible?
Well, if it meant seeing Hansen and Ole, I'd much rather deal with freight trainitis than this coronavirus that's hitting the whole world right now.
Stan Hansen just larrying the shit out of a spore or whatever it would be, COVID-19. Get the hell out of here, virus. You know, just one of those. But it was then time for some show closing promos, and I got what I wanted. There's nothing I love more than to have the superfecta of promos. And we had one last week, although it was a little bit uninspiring. You know, nothing against the good guys, but they can't do them like the bad guys can. And we get them back here in good order. And we get them with guys who we've seen before in this scenario be great. Here we get Austin Idol, Ivan Koloff, and then Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen.
Fans right here, Austin Idol, still with that camera. Austin, we're still getting a lot of comments
about
that.
Sure, you're getting a lot of comments, and I bet you a lot of the comments you're getting are from the wrestlers in this area. True or false? Sure, it's true. And I know one wrestler in particular I'm talking about who's commenting a great deal about this camera, who's commenting a great deal about Austin Idol, saying, why is Austin Idol at ringside? He's not allowed to. There's no reason he should be there. It's not legal. Well, it is legal. I'm within my rights, and I'm talking about Rick Steamboat. And I'm talking this Steamboat. I've got it all right here, Jackson, on this Canon 8mm right here. And believe you me, this is what's going to cost you defeat at the hands of the Idol.
All right, and here is Ivan Koloff. Ivan, that's no, Jimmy Valiant. He's ready for you.
It's crazy, man. Valiant, you know, Valiant, it's not too late for you. Not too late for you to tear up the contract. Notify the promoter that you're sick or something, that you can't make it. Because that would be the best thing for you, Valiant,
no way,
to back out of this. You're going to get hurt, Valiant. You stick your nose in my business time and time again. I don't like it. I don't like the idea that you're challenging me for my TV belt. You don't know how much this means to Koloff. But you're going to find out, and it's going to be at your expense, American. You may be ending up out of wrestling for good.
All right, fans, and right here, Ole Anderson, of course, Stan Hansen, Gene Anderson.
You know, we told that Roberts that he ought to be a little bit smarter and show some sense and get out while he's got a chance. Roberts, they say he might be all right. Maybe he's going
to
make it. But I'll tell
you
what, he's going to remember. He's going to remember for a long time that knot that he's got on the back of his head. When he gets here, or Rhodes, or the Briscoes. You know, Jack Briscoe, big star, former world champion. Why, we are just worried sick that Jack Briscoe might take that U.S. title. We're just worried that Jack and Jerry might take those world titles. I'll tell you what. I don't think anybody's worried. I don't see Gene nervous. I don't see Hanson. Are you nervous, Stan?
I'm not nervous about nobody, especially people like this guy just gets stomped all over the ring. Jack and Jerry Briscoe, Dusty Rhodes. What's this, Ray Stevens, Steamboat? It doesn't make no difference, boy. I'll take them all on and I'll kick everybody's butt. I'm the man from Texas, not Mulligan, not all these Jake Roberts, just me, the Eyes of Texas.
And as that fades out, that was pretty much the end of the show, as it was time for Bob Caudle to say goodbye, because I don't like the overdub of Don Ray's Got to Have Lovin'. We will let Bob Caudle say it in his own words with the original music, but we're not ready for that quite yet. The superfecta of promos at the end of the show, Austin Idol talking a little bit about Ricky Steamboat, hinting at him, Ivan Koloff, who has been tied at the hip now with Jimmy Valiant, and of course Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen there, once again alluding to the match tonight taking place in Charlotte, North Carolina. but really kind of covering everybody who they may be facing, not only on Charlotte TV, but also down in Atlanta as well with Jack Briscoe, although Jack Briscoe will be playing a little bit more of a role on house shows, as we'll hear coming up in the results, and on TV next week. Any thoughts here on the kind of the remainder of the show and those sets of promos at the end?
Yeah, when Idol mentioned Steamboat, that just kind of got my wheels spinning, because you normally don't think of Idol against Steamboat, and that would be a match I would think would be fun to see. And something I thought about, Mike, and I'll ask you and for all the listeners out there, I'd be real interested to get feedback on this, just thinking about the bumper sticker with Bill Ward doing the segment for the bumper sticker, is how common were those when you went to the matches in that area? Were there lots of people that had them? Does anybody remember going to a gas station and seeing a guy at the pump next to you with the Mid-Atlantic bumper sticker? I was just curious, for people that grew up in that area that went to the matches, like how common were those bumper stickers?
I tell you what, I bet you we're going to get some good responses here, because I know guys like Dick Bourne and Bruce Mitchell and some other people who have talked about those bumper stickers. So yeah, I'll be very interested to hear some responses, not only by that guys, but for, you know, all the fans out there that may have had a chance to get one or not get one. I know I had somebody hit me up on Twitter saying, I was trying to get my mom to get one for me for so long, but she just didn't do it. You know, it's like, was she too cheap? You know, how much were stamps? 20 cents at the time? You know, maybe she just didn't like wrestling, man. I'm not sure if we're going to revert back to anything out of Knoxville. We had Les Thatcher and those cut-ins to kind of begin when we started doing the show. And at the end of 1981 on the network, there's a lot of those there. But we've been getting mostly these Ann Arbor ones and very few out of Charlotte. I don't think have we had a local spot out of Charlotte yet? I don't think we have. I know some are going to be upcoming here, but a lot of WIHT, Channel 36, Ann Arbor, Michigan, those tapes survived, I guess, and are the ones that WWE obviously has. But I digress. It's time to get to the results rundown here of everything that was taking place. And of course, once again, I will start with Leroy McGurk's dying territory, Midwest Championship Wrestling, as booked by George Scott. George Scott, who also still owns a piece of the Jim Crockett Promotions led charge in Toronto, the agreement that they have with the Tunney family, looking to buy Leroy McGurk's territory. Unfortunately, he will have the rug pulled out from underneath him next week, but I will save that until next week and just tell you what took place at their weekly show in Springfield, Missouri. On that show, Bruno Sammartino Jr. and Sweet Hansen went to a draw. Jimmy Snuka defeated Steve Bolus. George Wells and Frank Hill, alongside Siviafi, defeated Billy Starr, El Toro, and Ali Bay the Turk. And Paul Jones defeated Eddie Mansfield. So that was that in Springfield, Missouri. From there, we will move on and go back to Mid-Atlantic proper, Chester, South Carolina, at the high school on March 18th. No results, but Alfred Hayes and Johnny Weaver's feud continues on. In the main event, Roddy Piper faced off against Ricky Steamboat. Also that night in Norfolk at the Scope, Gene Anderson defeated Ray Stevens, Jake Roberts and Mike George defeated John Studd and Austin Idol by DQ, and Jimmy Valiant defeated Ivan Koloff. The next night in Charleston, South Carolina, Jay Youngblood and Blackjack Mulligan Jr. defeated Private Canoodle and Private Nelson as Porkchop Cash knocked off Austin Idol. Also that night in Lynchburg, Virginia, at the Armory, Jimmy Valiant and Jake Roberts defeated Ivan Koloff and John Studd, and Gene Anderson defeated Ray Stevens. You're going to hear Gene Anderson's name a couple of times. If you read these results, you will see it several times here. So getting back in there a little bit, mixing it up with an old pro in Ray the Crippler Stevens. March 20th in Knoxville, that's where they held that morning the WBIR TV studio tapings. That night in Asheville, or also that afternoon in Asheville, I'm sorry, at the Civic Center, Jimmy Valiant defeated Ivan Koloff, Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen defeated the Briscoes, and Austin Idol defeated Ray Stevens by disqualification. That night in Charlotte at the Coliseum, the show that we had been talking about, Sergeant Slaughter, Ole Anderson, and Stan Hansen defeated Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat, and Jake the Snake Roberts. Also on the card, Ivan Koloff went to a double disqualification against Jimmy Valiant. Blackjack Mulligan Jr. defeated Austin Idol. The Privates defeated Jay Youngblood and Porkchop Cash, and the Ninja knocked off Ron Ritchie. Also that afternoon in Hampton, Virginia, Sergeant Slaughter faced off against Blackjack Mulligan Jr. in a no DQ match. The next night, March 21st, in Toronto at Maple Leaf Gardens, Jimmy Valiant knocked off Ivan Koloff. The stipulation was that if Koloff won, he would get the Cadillac that Jimmy Valiant had won on the previous show. Also on the card, Ricky Steamboat defeated Roddy Piper by disqualification, and Blackjack Mulligan Sr. defeated John Studd by disqualification in a bunkhouse match. I'm not sure how you get a disqualification in a bunkhouse match, but it seems like it's one disqualification too many on that show. Also that night in Greensboro, North Carolina, that Sunday at the Coliseum, Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen defeated Dusty Rhodes and Ray Stevens. Wahoo McDaniel and Jake Roberts defeated Sergeant Slaughter and Private Nelson, and Jack Briscoe defeated Austin Idol. On March 22nd, Greenville, Bob Armstrong defeated Roddy Piper by countout, Ray Stevens and Jimmy Valiant defeated Ivan Koloff and John Studd, and Ole Anderson drew with Jay Youngblood. On the 22nd, in Cameron, North Carolina, Ricky Steamboat defeated Austin Idol by DQ, while Johnny Weaver defeated Lord Alfred Hayes in a lumberjack match. On the 23rd, the crew was in Raleigh, although we have no results there. We only have one result to really give you for Columbia, South Carolina on the same night, which was Ricky Steamboat, Ray Stevens, and Leroy Brown defeating Roddy Piper, Austin Idol, and John Studd. Also that night, the crew was in Union, West Virginia, where Private Canoodle faced Porkchop Cash, and Blackjack Mulligan Jr. and Jake Roberts faced off against Sergeant Slaughter and Private Nelson, which brings us around to Wednesday, March 24th, 1982, where the crew was in Charlotte, North Carolina, ready to go at WPCQ Studios, where they would record NWA Worldwide Wrestling and Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling. And I will not spoil the card for you other than to tell you that on the WWE Network, their preview says that on this edition of Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, Private Jim Nelson and Private Don Carnoodle look to make Sergeant Slaughter proud by taking to the ring to battle Mike George and Tony Anthony in a tag team match main event. Plus, Jimmy Valiant, Jack Briscoe, and many more in action. My name is Mike Sempervivi. For Roman Gomez, we thank you very much for listening. Check out our Twitter and our Facebook and all of our social media. Just search for @MidAtlanticPod. Look for the logo. That'll be us. If somebody's bootlegging, we'll find out and we'll slap them around a little bit. Until then, this is a production of the Arcadian Vanguard Podcast Network. Take us out of here, Uncle Bob.
And that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.
Did everybody want you? Did